We're right now in the middle of the parshas of Truma and Tetzaveh, which have very few halacha l'maisa topics related to them, you'll note. Hopefully there will all be halacha l'maisa in the very near future, but as we stand today, they unfortunately are not. One of the obvious concepts that we have in the parshas of Truma and Tetzaveh is the ability to take something mundane and make it holy. We take animals, that's the ultimate point of the Beis HaMikdash, and which are very base, and make them into karbana, something that's very holy. The concept of us, people, being able to add holiness into mundane, that seems to be one of the major themes of these parshas. Related to that, I would think, is the topic of Seamus. That Seamus is a situation where we take something, we make it holy. We write a Sefer Torah, we write a mezuzah. Right? The cloth itself does not have any intrinsic kedusha. The ink itself does not have any intrinsic kedusha. However, if the ink is set up in a certain way on the cloth, that is a very high level of kedusha, such a high level of kedusha that the kedusha cannot be removed from it. There seems to be a lot of confusion in the area of Seamus. I don't know if people have ever davened here in the main base medrash, but most people who do have an awful lot of time on their hands waiting for chazaros hashatz. So when I am zochet to daven in the main base medrash, I often like to go through the Seamus pile in the back. I've found many fine svarim I picked up through this. Last year I picked up two shofars. But I also find that there are just unbelievable things. What people think that should fall to Seamus. People's Miami Boys choir tape rips, that ends up in Seamus. Somebody's kid draws a menorah, that's in Seamus. Etc. Seamus is burgeoning, which I would say questionable items right now. So I wanted just to go a little bit through the basics halacha, so we have a better idea of what goes into Seamus, what doesn't go into Seamus, how they go into Seamus, etc. So what are Seamus? Where does the word come from? So the word Seamus is from the word Shemot, names. That there are seven names that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, and those names have a certain intrinsic kedusha, and there is halacha that if any of those Shemos, some of the Shem Hashems, are not being used anymore, for whatever reason, can no longer be used, then you have to be gonies it. You have to put it, what we call put it into Seamus. We have to put it into a place. You can't throw it in the garbage. You have to put it in a special place for things of this level of holiness. The marker from that comes probably from the Parsha of Re'eh. Look at the first Mar Mokom, talking about Avodah Zarah. The Chumash tells us, Abeita Abdunes Kol HaMekomos, Asher Avdu Shem HaGoyim, Asher atem yorshim osam esol heim al harim harom al gvoz tachas kol etzor anon. That you should destroy when you're coming into Eretz Yisrael. Now all avodah zarah has to be destroyed. V'nitatmas mizuchosam v'shibartmas ma'asevosam v'ashereim tisrufum be'esh v'psichu al heim tegadeyun v'ibadetem ha'shimam min ha'makom hazeh. And you have to smash their mizbeachs and you have to uproot all their avodah zarah trees. Everything that's avodah zarah has to be destroyed. Don't do this to Hashem. So don't do what? Rashi asks. What exactly aren't you supposed to do? Rashi has three pshatim, and one of the pshatim is that you should not destroy things that are kodesh. You should not destroy the mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. You should not destroy Sefrei Torah. Even though it's a mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah, it's an avera to do this. That in fact is the pshat accepted by the Gemara and Makkos in Mar Makom number 3, that there is an isser of destroying what we call Seamos, anything that has the Shem Hashem on it, etc. What is the Shem Hashem? The Gemara in Shavuos and Daf Lamed Hey has seven names of the Seamos Hashem. There is some question about the Girsos. If you look at the Gemara itself, there's a different Girsa on the side. The Rambam has a further different girsa. Most of the names you can guess, Yudkei Vavkei, Elokim, these are all obvious choices, or these are the Seamos of Hashem. One of the Seamos is Kel. Aleph Lamed, that is one of the Seamos Hashem. There's an interesting machlokas among the Achronim. What about saying Beit El? Everybody knows there's a fine community in Israel called Beit El, which is literally named after the house of God. It appears in the Chumash. They make very nice tefillin. Are you allowed to say? I have to say Beit El. So it says Beit El on it. You have to put it in Seamus. What's the din in it? So there's a machlokas achronim whether the name of the town Beit El is in fact a Shem Kodesh that person should not say if it's not Litzorach. A person should put it in Seamus, or no? Beit El is the name of a city. It happens to be named after after HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way, but the name of the city itself is not the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the machlokas? Ultimately, the machlokas is the word Beit El one word or two words? And literally, it's two words. But we have situations also where things are literally two words, which are considered one word. Bat Sheva. Maybe Bat Sheva, there's a discussion whether Bat Sheva is one word or two words, even though it's two words. How should it be treated? For example, if a woman named Bat Sheva is unfortunately getting divorced, are you allowed to write the word Bat Sheva on two lines? Bas on one word, Sheva on the other one. Or do you have to mock to know that the word Bat Sheva should always be on one line, even though it's two different words? So too Beit El. Beit El is literally two different words, but it's really, most Rechronim say, it's one word. Beit El. That's the name of it. In English, it's written as one word. It's one word. That's all what it is. As other people say, no, in fact, it's two different worlds, based the house of Kel Hashem. So therefore, that's why you're supposed to do it. What you see from there, quite clearly, is in the event that you have the Shem Hashem as part of one word, everyone would agree there's no Kedusha in it. So, we have this in many cases. Yishmael. Yishmael is a name that was based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yishmael does not have any Kedusha. Even if Yishmael turned out better, he wouldn't have had any Kedusha. Okay? Shmuel. Okay? Shmuel's a better choice, perhaps. Yeshaya. What? Daniel, which is not my name, for example, right? Right. All of these cases are a situation where everyone agrees there's no kedusha. Therefore, if some people are mocked to put a dash or something in between, there's not really any sense in it. All the achronim agree that if it's one word, even though it was named after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was the basis of the word. So everyone agree not. It's interesting. I remember when I was in college here, or one of the rabbis made a sheva brachas. So he put invitations under guys' doors in the dormitory. So I get an invitation, and it says, it's written out to Dalad, Nun, Dash, Dash, Lamed, Rab. Now, it's not my name, that's point number one. But besides that, my roommate, Eddie Silver, turned to me and he said, where's this from? Who gave this to you? He said, Vanna White. That needs to buy a vowel. This guy's got a terrible T7 issue, he only wears consonants. Right, so again, the Yud, I can't even begin to guess why that got a dash, but the whole thing doesn't make sense. There's no reason to put all of these dashes in. The bottom line is that if there's an agreement within Beit El, which arguably two words, then there's the Machlokas, perhaps that's the Shem Hashem, but in the name Daniel, or Shmuel, or Yishmol, Yeshaya, etc., Yirmiyah, all these cases which arguably have the Shem Chayo, it has the Shem Hashem built into it, still, there is no argument about that. The Milchaz Yitzchak, in fact, has a tshuva, which is somewhat relevant. He talks about the name Yehuda. Now, Yehuda is one place where you look in the poskim, even in the Sfarim, a lot of people are mocked to write Yehuda with an aleph at the end. Why? Yehuda is different. Yehuda is no concern that was based on Shem Hashem. The name Yehuda itself, no one thinks, has intrinsic kedusha. However, when you write the name Yehuda, there is a distinct possibility, even though it might be a long shot, that you'll forget a letter. And that letter might be the dalet. So in the name of Yehuda, if you write Yud, Hey, Vav, then you forget the Dalet and you keep on going, you have wrote the Shem Havaya. So therefore, some people are mocked for the name Yehuda to end it with an Aleph. Because that way, for sure, no matter how you mess up, you're not going to write Yud, Hey, Vav, Kei. That's a different case. Right? Minchas Yitzchak also, he mentions that perhaps you should write a Shmitchik at the end. Some people do this, right? Yishai, Yud, Shin, Ayin, Yud, Shmitchik. He thinks it's worthwhile being a machmir for him. Most people don't understand why. You know? So you wrote the letters Yud and K together. Big deal. Even in Yehuda, right? No one else tell you that's why Yud, Dash, Hey, Vav, Dalet, Aleph. The fact that the two letters happen to be together don't mean anything. And the fact that it was based on a Shem Hashem, that also doesn't really mean anything. So when we talk about the Shemus, we talk about the Zion Shemus, as is, not in any other form, etc. The Ramah mentions one other name that a person perhaps should be machmir for, and that's the word Shalom. Right? The Gemara comments that the word Shalom refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, it's interesting. I also saw, they came up with a set of Svarim, 8 volumes, which are basically an English question-answer book based on the Mishnah Berurah. Right? I can take the Mishnah Berurah and went through everything and says, you know, Hilchos and Tilos Adayim. Do I have to do it in Tilos Adayim? Yes. Do I have to do it on my right hand? Yes. Left hand? Yes. You know, you can understand why it wasn't a big seller. Just went through the whole thing. 8 volumes of it. So in the back they had tshuvas. So they had in these tshuvas, I remember reading, I don't know what I was doing there, it mentioned the word Shabbos. The word Shabbos al pi Kabbalah is merumas to all seven Shemus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore he said you should not say the word Shabbos in the bathroom. So I don't think anybody that I've ever heard of is really makbid for this, the word Shabbos. But Shabbat Shalom, you run into a problem with the second word. The word Shalom, arguably, is one of the Shemus HaShem. So the Ramah said a person should be makbid to teach, treat the word Shalom with a certain amount of Kedusha. So most of the Rishonim Achronim disagree on it. However, the Aruch HaShulchan comments that in the event that you're referring to Shalom in a way that it does refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So in that case, a person should be makbid on the name Shalom. There are many other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu beyond the Zayin Shemus. Right? The Ramah has an important halacha about the two Yuds. Historically, it's a question where this came from, but in most Sidurim, instead of writing, yeah, Yud Kei Vav Kei, they put two Yuds. Do the two Yuds have any Kedusha? So the Ramah says that a person should be makbid and not wipe out the two Yuds for no reason. If it's Litzarech, if you need the paper for whatever reason, you know, then you're allowed to erase it. But if it's not Litzarech, you shouldn't do it. And the Shach says it has to be a Tzarech Gadol. Can't be Stam a Tzarech. Yeah, I'd like to, here I have a sitter, I'd like to erase it. I'd like to write my laundry list on it. I'd like to write my shopping list on it. That's not a Tzarech. So it's a Tzarech Gadol. If you really have a specific need, you can do it. But if not, you should avoid getting rid of the two yuds. Why? What's so special about the two yuds? The two yuds are not one of the Shem Hashems. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never referred to that. So the simple answer is there's something called the Kinui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, there are certain other ways that we refer to Hashem. Kinuyim come in many different shapes and sizes. Probably the most common is a hey. A lot of people, when they write, refer to Hashem, they write a hey. Interesting. I remember, I think, so the OU every year sends out a calendar, a Mincha Maariv, together with a Siddur in the back. So they used to have, wherever it said Shem Hashem, two Yuds. But then they realized it made Shemus, so they switched it all into Heys. Question, what did that do? Why does the Hey have any less Kedusha? There's an assumption out there that there's less Kedusha in a Hey than two Yuds. Pashtus, not that way. Hey refers to Hashem, two Yuds refer to Hashem. Neither of them are one of the Zion Shemus and the Nimchakim. Both cases, these are what we call kinuyim. Kinuyim is literally a nickname for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the kinuyim obviously do not have the same level of kedusha that the Zayin Shemus themselves. Obviously, hey, two yuds are not going to be the same as yud kei vav kei. It's not going to be the same as Elohim. But still, it has a certain level of kedusha. It shouldn't make a difference. This leads to the obvious question. This is big in the Shemus pile. Many people have this kepeda that whenever they write a letter, they write Beis Hei on top. What does Beis Hei stand for? Bezrus Hashem. Eishu Zolhelfen, it stands for. So the Hey in Beis Hey means Hashem. The Hey is a Kinui. So the question is, well, what do you do with this? If someone writes Beis Hey, that automatically goes into Shemus. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on it. He says the minig is not to. However, he said, what do you gain by writing Beis Hey? He said, if you don't write it, you don't lose anything. If you do write it, you have a shiloh of Shemus on your hand. So Moshe says, don't write Beis Hay on things. He doesn't know where this came from. He said, if you want to write something, write Beis Samach Dalin. V'siyata Dishmaya. So the D, right, with the help of God in Aramaic, so the D is of. It's not really Dishmaya. So he says you can get around it that way. Other people, in fact, were machmer on this. The Maritz Chayis thought that something like Beis Hay was potentially Shemus. The Rogachov and the Tzofnas Paneach writes that this is potentially a problem with Shemus. So the minute is not to put it in Shemus. That's what most of the modern poskim say. But they also say that you should avoid it. Well, what's the sense in getting into a Shava? What are you gaining by it? It's interesting. There's a Torah journal, Hadarom. It's put out by the RCA, and somebody might read it. I doubt it, though. And one time I was looking through one of the Hadaroms, and someone wrote an article on this question of Beis Hei. Yeah, it's an interesting article. So he wrote, to avoid all questions, whenever you write Beis Hei, you should have in mind Beis Hillel. You have in mind Beis Hillel, you have no shalas. Now, of course, that only begs the question, why are you putting Beis Hillel on every one of your... you kind of see where Moshe's point. There's no sense in this. Why do we get involved in this? So when it comes to all kinuyim, we should try to avoid it. Tashbates. The Rishon has an interesting question about Shemus Balaz, God. Is God a Shem Hashem? Absolutely it is. So he said that person should be very careful not to mention him. Or Moshe has this also. You shouldn't say God's name in vain. You shouldn't just say, a lot of people say, oh, They shouldn't do that. It's one of the kinuyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore a person should be very makbid even on the word God. God, like Hashem, the name, these are all kinuyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too, a person should be very careful with using the word. Somebody didn't listen to the announcement. The Minchas Yitzchak, the Gros Moshe, they all write about this. It's interesting. This I never understood. So the reason, there's no intrinsic kedusha in the letters G-O-D. Or if you look at the earlier two, it's G-O-T-T, that in the German poskim have got as the same idea. There's no intrinsic kedusha. However, these letters refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the letter Hey, just like the letter Dalet maybe. They refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore we have to treat it with a certain amount of kedusha. So that being the case, G-D should be the same thing. What if you tell me that there was intrinsic kedusha here? So, example, let's say a makbid and the word Daniel. I don't want to write the word Daniel because the Aleph Lamed is Shem Hashem. So I write Dalad Nun Yud Dash Lamed because the Aleph and the Lamed shouldn't be together. When it comes to God, there's no kedusha that I don't want the G, the O, and the D to be together. This isn't one of the Zayin Shem Hashem and Chokim, right? Maybe in the art scroll Gemara is one of the Zion Sheamus, but in the regular, in the Babylonian version, this is not one of the Zion Sheamus. So what good does a dash do? A G-O-D and a G-dash, do you have the same Kedusha? Right? If I made a smiley face and not referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would also be a Kinoi. Right? So whatever it is, there's, I don't see any sense in putting the dash there. You're not avoiding anything, it's the same Kinoi.
You don't spell it out.
What?
You don't spell it.
Well, either way, but it refers to the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing spelling it. There's no it. Right? G-O-D does not have any intrinsic Kedusha. It has Kedusha because it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This too, it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I don't see what we gain by that. So we mentioned that there are two different categories here. One is the Zayin Shemus, the seven names, and there's also Kinuyim. L'may Nafkamina, both of them we shouldn't be throwing out. So if you look, I believe we put it on the sheet someplace or another, the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, number 9, I see, says, Shara kinuyim shem eshabchim bahem es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kagon chanun, harachum, hagodol, hagibor, hanora, hanemon, kane v'chazek, hayosu bahem, harehen kashar kisvei kodesh, emutu l'monchon. So in the first thing he says that all these kinuyim are the same rule as its divrei Torah, and you're allowed to erase them. So what does erase them mean? What do you mean you're allowed to? So in Halacha Ches, which probably appears someplace else on this sheet, if I have to guess, the Rambam basically says that's mutl l'molchem. However, in the event that you're a molchek, you get makas mardus. In the event that somebody erases either one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are not from the Zayin Shemus HaNimchokim, or Stam Advar Torah, someone erases one of these things. Technically, on the level of the rice, the simple reading is that this is mutter. However, you get makas mar, this means that it's also b'derabbanan. That's how the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam. That's how Rover the Mefarshim understand the Rambam. The Megan Avram might hold otherwise. He might hold that it's all the rice. But the general assumption is no. When it comes to Los Sasser and Kema Hashem El Kefa, the Isser the rice that we spoke about at the beginning, that is only in the Zayin Shemus. However, any Divrei Torah, etc., if you are mochig them, that's an Issa Derabbanan, and for that you get Makas Mardus. Obviously, this issue of Divrei Torah is probably the majority of Shemus nowadays. It's interesting, there's a famous Tshuvas Ramah. The Ramah says that in order for it to be a Doraisa, it has to be specifically Ksav Ashuris. It has to be like it's written in a Sefer Torah. In the classic block of, if it's written in script, if it's written in any modern type of Hebrew, etc., then it's only Durabbanan. Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. He thinks that any type is, it's all the same, it doesn't make a difference one way or the other. Some people are makbid on this. Some people think that, are trying to be machmir like the Ramah, that they try to avoid Ashuris. So every so often you'll get a wedding invitation. So if you ever read the Hebrew side, which I'm sure not many people do, some people actually put it in Rashi script. Put it in Rashi script to avoid the Shemus problem. I think most people assume not like the Rambam. I think the general assumption is like the Aruch HaShulchan. So you have two levels of Shemus. One is the Shem Hashem, and the other is general Drabban. It's interesting. I think Rabbi Shelton tells a story. One time he was in Breyers, and he saw a guy taking a Megillah, Klaf Megillah, and throwing it in the garbage. So So besides financially not being the smartest idea, Shabtai said to him, don't you think it should go into Seamus? And he said, why? There's no Shem Hashem. Right? That's the Megillah. The whole Megillah. Even the Hamelach Megillahs don't have the Shem Hashem any place. So the answer is no. Yeah, on a level d'oraisa, he might have a point. Then on a level d'oraisa, it might only be Seamus if it has Shem Hashem. However, in Divrei Torah, one of the Megillahs, that's obviously Seamus as well. That has to go at least on the level of D'rabbanan. Not everything that has the Shem Hashem automatically becomes Seamus. There's a famous Gemara in Gittin on Daf Mem Hei, which talks about Sefer Torah Shenechtav Min. No idea where that would be. The Gemara says that if a Sefer Torah Shenechtav Min, let's say somebody who's an Apikoros writes a Sefer Torah, what's the din? Sorfin or so. You burn it. Sefer Torah Shenechtav Akum Gonzin. So he said there's a difference between if somebody writes it who's a min and someone who's an akum. So what's the difference between a min and an akum? And a min is somebody who's writing the Shem Hashem with specific havana. When I write Yud Kei Vav Kei, this doesn't refer to the Eibishter, it refers to Ralph the Lettucehead. Whoever my God is, that's who I'm referring to. So in the event that someone writes that, you burn it. Let's say a goy writes it. It's not a goy. The guy doesn't have any mind. He has a mind. He's going to make a buck. So whatever they told him to write, he's writing. The guy's a struggling artist. He said, listen, you want to make a few dollars? Write Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, you get good money on that. So the guy's writing it. However, he gets the shape. Doesn't understand Hebrew. He doesn't know what he's writing. So therefore, he doesn't have any negative kavana when he writes the Seamus. He doesn't have any kavana. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just copying. Maybe very nicely. So in that case, this says Gonzin, you put it into Seamus, if he writes it. So this comes up, or Moshe discusses it. So the first question is, what do we nechta? So right now we have a sefer, right? You go and you buy yourself a Schottenstein edition of the Talmud. Who wrote it? Who wrote it? Rav Ami and Rav Ashi, they're the authors. Article. But who printed it? Some guy in Hackensack, New Jersey probably pressed the button, and that started the printing press going. He ultimately is the one who wrote it. So one could ask, why does anything have Kedusha? Right? It's doubtful that Eretz Yisrael mail it. But here in America, most of the people who work in printing presses probably aren't Jewish. Right? The editors, right? Everybody who made, but the guy who actually did the printing, the binding, he's probably not Jewish. So the question is, why don't all of our Sfarim have that din? So Moshe explains it. He says, Sefer Torah, Shenechtav Akum, doesn't mean the guy who literally wrote it. It means what it was written for, right? If it was written for Kedusha Vara, that's what the Divrei Torah have done, right? You have to take a venerable Torah publication like a Naim LaTorah. So who knows who in productions is printing it, but it was written for the sake of people learning Torah. That has a din of Seamus. However, if the person had a mind that's going to be used for something else, then obviously it doesn't have Kedusha. Which means that all of our Svarim retain their Kedusha. It's not just Seamus that have to go into what we call Seamus, into Geniza, but also Tashmishe Kedusha as well. The Shulchan Aruch, both in Aruch Chaim and in Yerodeya, quotes the Halacha, that Tashmishe Kedusha, anything that's used for Kedusha, has to be put into Seamus. Right? So Megillah would clearly be a case of Tashmishe Kedusha as well. Mezuzahs, etc., even if the Shem got wiped out, right, tefillin boxes that go directly on the tefillin, right, are clearly tashmishi kedusha. The mantle on the sefer Torah, right, the gartel on the sefer Torah, the etzchaim, of course, on the sefer Torah. All these things have a din of tashmishi kedusha and have to be put in Seamus. That's for sure. However, tashmishi mitzvah do not have to be put in Seamus. For example, tzitzis. Right, tzitzis don't have any intrinsic kedusha with them. You can go into the bathroom wearing your tzitzis as opposed to your tefillin. Right, so therefore they aren't considered tashmishe kedusha, right, they're used for a mitzvah. And therefore they do not have to be put into Seamus. Right, lulav esrog, right, obviously you're supposed to treat it with a certain amount of respect, but not the respect that it has to go into Seamus. The Ramah, it's interesting, Ramah says a person should be machmir by tzitzis as well. He said, tzitzis as well, you shouldn't throw them out. So he suggests either you use your tzitzis as bookmarks. That's a suggestion. If not, he says you should be put it into Seamus. Rav Schefter has an interesting approach. Rav Schefter quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the Haruge Bezdin, that in the Bezdin, so obviously we have separate Jewish Beis HaKvaros than we have for Goyim. What's the reason for the separate basic kvaros? The answer is because there are different levels of Kedusha. Jews are chayav in 613 mitzvahs, more chiyuvim means more Kedusha, as opposed to the goyim are only chayav in zayin mitzvahs. They have a certain level of Kedusha, but not the same level, therefore when we bury them separately. Similarly, the Gemara discusses, let's say somebody is killed by the Beis Din. Say a person gets a skila, a sreif, a herek, chanek. So again, different mises were given for different types of aveiras, right? More serious, some people died for more serious, some people died for less serious. So therefore, since there is also different levels here, the Gemara says that we bury these people separately as well. Right? Someone who's chayav skila, sreifer is not buried together with someone who's chayav herek and chanek. So Rav Shechta points out that you see that there's an isser of burying something that has a certain level of Kedusha, that's something that has less of a level of Kedusha. So based on that, Rav Shechta says, a person, for example, let's say you have the Jewish press. The Jewish press has all types of things in it. It has in it arguably different Torah. But besides that, it also has, it has for Underworld Plaza. It has Mendi and the Golem, which probably is not that. I remember when. It has all sorts of exciting things in the What? I haven't read it in years. I assume nothing's changed. I assume Arnold Fine is still writing, if I had to guess. So do you have to put the Jewish press into Seamus? Right? So Rabbi Shalta would argue that yes and no. You have to sit there and you have to cut out the articles that have a certain amount of Kedusha in it and put them in Seamus as opposed to the other thing. You have to go through, you have to really go through it and find whether it's the Jewish praise, the Yatein Ne'eman, or Hamashpacha magazine, whatever you might be reading, right? Maybe the Jewish Week. The Jewish Week has a Dvar Torah every week. Once every 3 weeks, it's Orthodox, right? That's how it works. It's right. So perhaps then, you know, et cetera, et cetera. A person would have to go through this and literally snip in, as opposed to other people who are, you say, just take the whole thing and throw it in. Take the whole thing and throw it in. This is opposed to the shittas that you ask them, can you read the Jewish press in the bathroom? They say, the shadow is whether you can read it outside the bathroom. That's the shadow. In the bathroom of Vadi, you can. And so, that's what Rabbi Shach did. I never understood that, because sometimes on the one hand, on one side of the page, you might have the Chuvas of Rabbi Klass, and on the other side, you'll have Underworld Plaza. Mamash on the same one. So it's like the story they tell about a guy who used to learn in yeshiva, and whenever he saw a Shver Tosfos, he didn't like, took a razor blade and cut it out. So Shver Tosfos, we can't live with this. Took it, throw it out. So someone said to him, but there's stuff on the other side of the page also, but you know that? He said, Eure Rasha, Eure Shreino. Throw it all out. Yeah, this is the market for our school having 5 pages for each page. You don't have to worry about what's on the other side. So Rav Shelter assumes that a person has to separate it because you can't have different levels of Kedusha together. It sounds in the Ramah not that way. The Ramah says that Tov Hachmer, to be gomez, to put your tzitzis into Seamus, literally one would think that means that you can't put tzitzis that only Tashmisha mitzvah together with Talis and Tefillin, not Talis, Tefillin that are Tashmisha Kedusha. I asked Rabbi Shelter this. He said, no, what the Ramah means is you're supposed to have a separate Geniza, a Tzitzis Geniza. That's what it means. So, okay, that's true. That answers the question, if you have a Tzitzis Geniza. I think not that way. I think that, so again, it's important not to put, we see, I would definitely agree with Rabbi Shelter that a person should be makbid, not to throw in, last week in Seamus we had an electric razor. That was a big find. That was a bonus day. But that probably should not be thrown in. Right? A person should not finish up his garbage and drop it into the Seamus bin. It's interesting. We have downstairs in this building, by the Jewish Studies office, we have a Seamus bin. And it's shared with the college, so not everybody understood. They're putting away garbage. So we spoke to the secretary in the college, we said, no, can you put up a sign and explain it? So she said, there's a big sign the next day. This bin is for Shabbos only. she missed the point. So, that's true. You should avoid putting your garbage in with it. But again, the different levels of Tashmisha Kedusha, Tashmisha Mitzvah, cutting up your newspapers, that's unclear whether you'd have to do that or not. Rav Moshe has an interesting question. What about Mayer Makom Hashitz? So Moshe says, Mayer Makom Hashitz. So you're given this excellent packet prepared to you for the Center for the Jewish Future, making the future Jewish. So in the event that Rav Moshe says that you only got the front page here, which said these are the Maror Makomos, look them up, Rav Moshe says that's not Sheamus. There's no Torah here. It's just a laundry list. You want to prepare for Shir, these are the things you should say. Right? However, in the event the opposite, if you have quotes, that would be Sheamus. Again, the standard, where you get in Shir, the old-fashioned Maror Makomos sheets, do the Gemara from here to here, in the Rashi Tosis and the Shulchan Aruch, that's not considered Sheamus. Because there's no intrinsic Torah in that. Only if it's actually written out, that is considered Sheamus. When it comes to Tashmisha Kedusha, the Ramah makes an interesting statement. He says, bookshelves are Tashmisha Kedusha. A person who has a Svarim shrank, the purpose of them is to take care of the Svarim. Right, so that is considered Tashmisha Kedusha. I have never found a bookshelf in Sheamus. As the type of thing you figure, if you look close enough, you just might see it. A nice Frankel's wall unit has never quite appeared in the Beis Medrash yet. What's the reason for this? So the reason is that times have changed. We have invented something new called book covers. All books today, besides all Sfarim, besides having the pages, they also have a cover on it. The cover is a Tashmish Kedusha, which means the bookshelves nowadays are a Tashmish to Tashmish. Meaning the bookshelves don't take care of the Kedusha, the Sfarim there, but it takes care of the covers, which take care of it. That's considered a Tashmish to Tashmish. That's why nowadays this halacha doesn't apply anymore. In the days of the Ramah, they had scrolls, basically. They had gilyonos. They used to put it directly on. That's why that was considered a Tashmish Kedusha. However, nowadays, it's only considered a Tashmish to Tashmish. This question of Tashmish to Tashmish comes up in many cases. So, for example, the plastic bag outside your talus and tefillin bag. Right? So the tefillin bag arguably is, because even though there's a box over it, still the yud of the shalyad is sticking out. And that has an intrinsic Kedusha as well. So therefore, one could argue that the tefillin bag has intrinsic kedusha as well. But what about the talus bag? What about the plastic outside of it? That's a tashmish to tashmish. Similarly, it used to be in the Mosada Rav Kook, in their old swam, they had paper covers on it. They had book covers on it. Nowadays, fancy technology, it's all in one. But they always had these covers, which if you left it on your shelf, that was fine. But if you actually used the safer, they became very ratty very quickly. So therefore, it was necessary to get rid of them. They just looked terrible. So that would not be considered Sheamus either, because again, it's a tashmish to tashmish. You have the book cover is the tashmish to the safer, and the paper cover outside of it, the book jacket, I guess it's called, would be a tashmish to tashmish. That would not be a problem. It's interesting. They discuss this with paroches. Are generally written, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, they assume that a parochish is tashmishe kedusha, that it really is good. And in fact, what? In fact, they go as far as to say that there's a din in, by Hilchos Sheamus, not by Sheamus, by Shatnas, that in Shatnas you're not allowed to have a vilon, a curtain made out of shatnas. Why? Because somebody might rub against it and warm up themselves in it. They say the waiters used to warm themselves against the curtains. So they said, well, since paroches is considered a tashmish to kedusha, it has intrinsic holiness, no one's allowed to use it at all, so therefore you can put shatnas in it. In fact, al pi kabbalah, they say you should. So people point out, well, it depends on what type of aron you have. The standard arons in America have on the first, they have two doors, and outside of it, they have a curtain, right? So in a case like that, the curtain is not a tashmish to kedusha, it's a tashmish to tashmish, because in between the two of them, you have the doors. However, many of the European aron, the fact that you're seeing it coming back into style now, I think there are many places. I think Aruch Chaim has like this, right? That if you look at their aron, there's the curtains on the inside and the doors are on the outside. I guess it'll stand. I don't think has one of these. So in those cases, then it is in fact a tashmish kedusha. It depends on the lineup. That was a Talmud in Kerem B'Yavne. So in Kerem B'Yavne, they had an Italian aron. The aron had the doors on the outside and the parochas on the inside. So in a situation like that, then you assume that it is considered a tashmish kedusha, and then it does have to. That's a question, to what extent is. But again, it could be that something one could argue a few things. One is that perhaps the Atzei Chaim aren't have intrinsic Kedusha. That's not just the Tashmish. So we assume that's on the inside, then you probably should put it on Sheamus. However, if there's doors in between, then you don't have to. I think the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael is that they save the parochas and they hang them in the sukkah. The shul sukkah has it hung up there to have some sort of mitzvah type of use for it. So that's the issue of tashmish to tashmish versus tashmish. What is kasiva comes up in a big question. It's unbelievable how many times this must have happened. You read the tshuvas, you think this happens every week. So yeshivas on a regular basis have to hire teachers, rabbeim, etc. So before you hire somebody, you're not going to hire a sight unseen. You're going to have a model lesson. So it seems that all the time the following happens. Someone goes over to the blackboard and says, today I'm going to teach about the Zayin Shemus and Nimchakim. And they are. Yud Kei Vav Kei. You just sit and write all Shemus across the blackboard. Right? Now what do you do with the blackboard? Right? For starters, anybody who's applying for jobs, not a smart idea. So there's a discussion. It seems this happened in Hank one time because Rabbi Warman in the Sheyus Yosef has a tshuva about it. And he was able to come with potential coolers that perhaps if no one says anything and the local and the janitor who's not Jewish comes around, he erases the board, that's okay, you don't have to tell him not to do it. However, other people disagree. Well, Yashiv is quoted about this saying, no, you have to take the board off and put it in Sheamus. That's it. They blew it and then that's it. You lost your board. It's over. So that's the first question about what is, so the question is chalk. Chalk is something that doesn't stay permanently. So, you know, the Rambam says, can you write the Shem Hashem on your body? So the answer is, it's not going to last on your body. So the Rambam says, not that way. So perhaps is if it's usher to write it that way, maybe it's not usher to get rid of it because it's going to go on its own eventually. So Rabbi Warman wants to be makel on it. However, Rabbi Yoshev is machmer on it. Another interesting question. This comes up much more often nowadays than it used to. It started around 20, 30 years ago. The Israeli government decided to come out with a very nice idea. They were going to come out with stamps honoring the Gemara. They had different personalities in the Gemara. So on each of them, they had a blot of Gemara with a picture of some guy on it. It's a sandler, whatever it was, they were on the picture. The question is, were all these famous, these things Seamus? Because, put it on the microscope, there's a black Gemara there. Collect the whole shas. So Rabbi Yoshev at the time wrote that in the event that you can't see it by the naked eye, right, then it's not considered shameless. All it matters is what you can see with the naked eye. In these cases, you really wasn't such a big stamp to get the whole block of mar, and then it was really kind of small. So he said that's not a problem. In advertisements, you have this all the time. A lot of people who advertise, we have a new sitter, etc., are not moderate enough to make sure that they take out full psukim, take out the Shem Hashem. So you have to be careful. I remember U.S. News and World Report 2 years ago had an entire piece of a Sefer Torah. They had some discussion about the Bible. So they had an open chumash. That's a problem. So you got to wonder about those things. Perhaps you can rely on the nift of the min in that case, but doubtful. They wrote it just for no sake in particular. An obvious question which comes up nowadays is tapes, right? Torah tapes. Can you erase Torah tapes? So the first tshuva, Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva on this. He in fact has two or three tshuvas on this. And the upshot of them all, even though there's different degrees of how harshly he writes it, but the general assumption that Moshe writes is that even though technically it's mutter to erase a tape, there's no ksiva to talk about. Right? I don't think anyone would argue that you can't take a Torah tape into the bathroom with you. Right? There's nothing written on it. Look at it. Can't see anything. There's no ksiva to talk of. However, he said it's a double machur. It's just to erase it. For erasing sake, it's not a nice thing to do. Therefore, if someone wants to, so your emotion recommends if tape something else over it. Now that you're erasing it, but something else is going on top of it. So that's the general assumption over most poskim that you can do this. It's interesting. Nowadays, so you go to yutorah.org. So what's the story with that? So you can listen to it streaming. So if you listen to it streaming, it never parked itself on your hard drive. What if you download it? Is there an issue to erase it? Well, it's hard to believe. It's probably even a little less than a tape. You know, on a tape, that there's something that you can even look at. You can't look at your hard drive. It's some ones and twos. I have no idea what it is, actually, given my background as an economics major. So I have no idea how it works at all. But I think most people assume that that's not an issue.
Would it be the same as GOD versus GD? Whether it's binary form or the same form, it's still a representation?
It's a representation, but no one sees it. I mean, it's like the stamp. If you don't see it, it's not there. We generally assume. It's like bugs. It's like crustaceans. Never seen one? They don't exist. Right, that's the assumption of these things. If you can't see it, it's not there. So you can't see it. G-O-D, G-dash, you see it. Right? You don't see it. There's nothing. There's some binary form on the tape that, you know, besides breaking it, I won't be able to accomplish much by just staring at it.
Specifically, in case of tape, you have an object of effect, and you can say, this tape has a shura, represents something.
If
I download something,
right,
unless
so,
I can
well,
find the sector and hard drive.
Well, you hold up the hard drive and say, this hard drive.
Somewhere that's
highlighted. Right, you know, that's why I think that's.
I was. In the tape, somewhere on this tape.
Right, it's different. The whole tape is a Torah tape. You know? Again, I would have no problem putting it in, taking it to the bathroom. If it ripped, I'd have no problem throwing it in the garbage. But Moshe says, but to be a dayim, erase it, they have to tape something else over it. Just a nicer thing to do. From a strictly halachic point of view, I don't think anyone thinks that.
Can you say it's derived from listening? We learned halachic from listening to Megillah reading over a loudspeaker that you're not in the time limit. So it's an electronic form of...
Well, I don't think we'd want to say that if you download the shir, you're not Mekayim Talmud Torah.
No, but
put Torah.org out of business.
The question is, is there a word there because it's an electronic form of the word?
No, again, there's a din of having to... It's a Shomei Ka'one perhaps, right? That perhaps there is a din that you have to say it, therefore you have to literally hear the words. Hear Talmud Torah, however it gets into your head, whether you heard it from somebody, if you read it on a book, if you heard it on a tape. Talmud Torah is Talmud Torah. We like to think that whoever's listening out there in YUTorah.org land, we think you're being Mekayim Talmud Torah. Right? Something like that. It's not just the people hearing it live. There's no reason that I should be machmir to turn off the microphone at this point.
The implications of Het Psukim Ad. So just Het Psukim Ad, or?
Yeah, I think you should throw the whole thing in. Perhaps Rabbi Shelter tells you have to cut the... Rabbi Shelter had all of his invitations in Rashi script. Except for one. I remember asking him why not. He said, oh, the Rebbetzin did it. I guess you know the chef is.
You have to cut the pasuk out of the invitation.
So I think that you could throw the whole thing in. According to Rav Shachter, you can ask Rav Shachter, he's alive and well.
But you throw the whole invitation in.
Yeah, I think so. That's why a lot of people are more into the made up names. Like Nalal Yushalayim or Rosim Chosenu is not a pasuk. It was invented by Hallmark, or the Jewish equivalent, right? There's no such pasuk as that. Rather than saying, again, but if you have someone say, Anilo Dodi, the Dodi Li, that's a real problem for double reasons. One is it's a pasuk, and two, the Dodi that we're referring to in the pasuk is Hashem, right? And that's a different possible problem. Dovid HaMelech got punished for things like referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as... And a person the same, expressing your love to a person the same way you express it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a problem. So Anila Dodi, or Dodi Li, should definitely be avoided on wedding invitations. Oh, Pesukim, now, again, who reads the Hebrew for starters? Leave the whole thing out, no one knows the difference. But let's say you're going to put it on, because if not, people think you're not from. So right, Nalal Yushalayim, or Rosim Hoseinu, you know, some made-up Pesuk, that's fine. It's okay. Right, Amotzit Lachem Yaris, no one will notice the difference. It's all the same. I don't ever read these things. Why get into problems? So I was at the doctor on Friday, and the doctor's wife was there. They're making a chasana, and she said, "What's ubaga?" What? See, she said, "I know ayin beis lamed is im bechiras libo, but the in-laws insist on ubaga. Ayin beis gimel." I said, "Im bas gilo." They said, "Oh, what's the difference?" I said, "No one reads this. Doesn't make a difference. Who's going to read it? Nobody. Don't worry about it. They want to put it in. Wherever they want. Whatever they want to put in, it's fine. Again, so no one reads this. There's no reason why we should be having shameless problems here. There's, again, like Rav Moshe said by base, hey, there's very little upside here. So given the basic cost-benefit analysis, as an economics major, we should avoid it at all costs. Why not? It's interesting, there's a Sefer Shari Kodesh, Rav Hecht, so he talks the question about some guy put Shem Hashem in neon lights. So he wants to know, can you turn off the lights? So he paskins, but kula, since the UK folk are still there anyhow, whether lit up or not, you're not doing anything. He turns if your person ends up with this shiloh, I'm not sure how many people have it, but if you have UK folk and neon lights, you're allowed to turn off the lights. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has a very interesting Yishayah, which comes up more. He talks about book bindings. Right? Is there any Kedusha in book binding? So again, going back to my days in Karen B'Yavna, if you go up to the Sifriya, at least in my day, the majority, perhaps, of the Svarim, they got after the Second World War. Part of there was many Svarim that the Nazis had taken, And when they got him back, so they doled him out to various yeshivas. I think the Mizrahi was able to get a lot of them. They gave him to Karen B'Yavna, which was a Mizrahi school. And then most of the Svarim were quite old. Right? They had made suggestions at the time. This was in the pre-eBay days, but sell them to collectors and buy new ones. They'll be happy. We'll be happy. But so if you ever made the mistake of reading one of these Svarim while wearing a sweater, you would open it and half the safe would end up on your sweater. It's just some chemical reaction by which the static electricity, these Svarim are very old, and the Gilyonis would just end up all over you. So the question is that Seamus? There's no words on it, but these are part of the Svarim. So I remember looking into this. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, well, the binding is. So what's the reason for it? The Pasha, because it's the Tashmish, the Kedusha. Right, so the question is, what's the reason? So most Svarim, in general, the printing doesn't go to the end. There's a certain border around it. So what's the reason for the border? So I asked her, there's different offers that were given. One is that it's easier to read that way. It's easier to read when you have some space. If it goes up to the end, it's hard on the eyes. Another answer, which is probably more of an older answer, is when they used to print the paper, hit it, so they wanted a big, it was just as big as the paper. You had to hit it on the nose. You had a bigger target, you know, you're off by a little, it didn't make a difference. Right? Another possibility is when you turn the pages, eventually, you know, the acid in your fingers will eventually eat away at the papers. So again, it gives you a certain amount of space. It's like Rav Schefter, one of his favorite marshals are as follows. He says, a guy walks into a Svarim store and he says he wants to buy a sitter. First time he liked to buy the Otzer Tefillah sitter. So people are familiar. Otzer Tefillah sitter is a big sitter. It's two volumes. He said, how old is your son? He said, he's 2.5. It's 2.5. It's a little premature to buy an Otzer Tefillah sitter. He said, well, he can't read Hebrew at all. He said, so why are you buying it? He said, well, I'm just going to rip out the pages. I figured if I buy Otzer Tefillah, he's got hundreds of pages he can rip out until he gets to Moda Ani even. Right? Eventually. Right, so that's the nimshal. In case anyone was wondering what the nimshal was, is that's the idea of the rabbanans. We make the rabbanans that go around the raisas, that you can be over a lot of the rabbanans, and still the dinim d'oraisa won't be touched. That's what siag l'torah means. That so siag, rip out a lot of pages, and still you won't talk to anything that's that important yet. I said that was pshat and slichus. Why do we say it's a big question? Why do we say slichus? So I just pointed out that no matter how late you come for slichus, you're always on time for brachos, at least that week of the year. And that's the same idea, man. One week a year, everyone comes on time for brachas. Even though they might be a half hour late for slichas, they at least made it on time for that. That's why they added. So too. So what's the reason? If you tell me the reason is that some of the paper is going to get ripped off, right? Then it's a tashmis kedusha. It's protecting the letters, right? If you tell me also that the reason for it is to make it easier to read. And also, it's a tashmish kedusha. If you tell me it's just a matter of the bullseye that the guy has trouble hitting it, that's not a tashmish. Whatever he hits is, and whatever it is, isn't. But I think nowadays, the third reason probably doesn't apply. Probably it's all computerized. They probably manage to hit much better. If you open a book, the margins are basically the same on every single page. You look at the old Svarim, you see that they go back and forth a little bit if you're not lucky. So, pashtus, one would assume that these pieces of paper that come off are Tashmisha Kedusha. If this happens, people have older Siddurim that happens, and arguably these should be Gonez that as well. We've been talking flippantly about this concept of Geniza. What does Geniza mean? So the Gemara Megillah says that Sefer Torah Shabbalah, Sefer Torah that is no longer usable, Menichim a Kli Cheres, you put it into a Kli Cheres, a earthenware pot, I guess, and you bury it next to a Talmud Chacham. There's an important Machokas Achronim. Why do we do this? The Marcheshe says the reason that we do this is because it's covered with Sefer Torah. It's a cover for the Sefer Torah that you bury next to a Talmud Chacham. Sefer Eshkol says the exact opposite. He says it's covered for the Talmud Chacham to have a Sefer Torah next to him. My Nafkamina. The Nafkamina is if there's no Talmud Chacham. I have a Sefer Torah that needs to be buried. And I have no Talmud Chacham. Can I bury it alone? So if you assume that it's covered, it needs a Talmud Chacham, so you gotta wait. I wouldn't recommend shooting a Talmud Chacham over this. Hey, just say no. Sit and wait until someone hits Meves. I mean, at that point, that's enough. As you probably you tell me, it's covered for the Talmud Chacham. Okay, but the Sefer Torah doesn't have to wait for that. The Sefer Torah can be buried on its own. What's the idea? What happened to the Kli Cheres? I don't think anyone does the Kli Cheres anymore. So the Har Tzvi, or Tzvi Pesach Frank, writes that Kli Cheres is only by a Sefer Torah. It's only a Sefer Torah, perhaps by Klaf Nach, that people use for the Haftorah sometimes. are things that are in that Arvindar, this whole idea of Kli Charis doesn't apply. That, I think, is the generally accepted opinion, and just worth noting that the Magen Avraham argues on this point, and he thinks that, no, everything should go into the Kli Charis. Clearly, the minhag is not to follow the Magen Avraham. Going back to the title of this shir, so once we have this in the background, the Rav Moshe has a very important tshuva where he bemoans the absolute boom in Seamus nowadays. He said it's terrible. It used to be a guy bought a siddur, it was good for his whole life, right? Now every Shabbaton we xerox 200 mincha marvs and we do that, right? Right? Brezhnev alone have helped the Seamus stockpiles. Right? There's not a shul now that doesn't get 3, 4, 5 different the Dvar Torah sheets every Shabbos. The amount of Seamus is just burgeoning. It's far outrunning our ability to deal with Seamus. So what do you do about it? So Rav Moshe is taught to the famous tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes from the Knesset Yecheskel that b'shas hadachak, if someone's in a bad situation, you can burn Sifrei Torah. Right, or Divrei Torah is actually his case. What's the situation? He said, let's say the Nazis are coming. They're gonna roll it on the street and they're gonna desecrate it. He said, better you can burn it for a Tzarek Gadol, right? Rather than to have it desecrated. Moshel Mal David Domer, they quote the case of Shaul. Shaul at the end of his, very end of his life was mortally injured, and there would have been a great bizayon if the king of Israel would have been taken alive, captive. So he turned, to the fellow next to him, and ultimately he did it himself. He killed himself rather than to allow the great bizayim happen. So he said that it's similar to that. If there's going to be a great bizayim, there is a situation where you're allowed to burn Divrei Torah. So the Achi Yezer and Chaim Ozer and also the Nitziv and his Chuvas Meshav Dover all say that when if you're in a situation where this has to be done, do it Ayudei Akum, do it Ayudei Kotan, etc. Do it in a way that's as indirect as possible, like the grammar. So putting this together, Rav Moshe has a very important tshuva, which doesn't get a lot of press for some reason. Rav Moshe, that's definitely here. That's number 19. Rav Moshe discusses Sifrei Kodesh Nitfashim Shabbal and Mudu Letesim Lekelim Shalokim Mosam Misham Betochim Mosam Umokim Mosam Lasos Miyar Chadosh. Right, right. Divrei Torah, Sifrei Kodesh. In the event that you're not using them anymore, are you allowed to put them into the recycle bin, right? They're going to take it with them, they're going to grind it down, they're going to make it into new paper. So Moshe writes, and most people are shocked to hear this, well, the Indian Meister who borrowed Etzli, Kamosha Kosafti, Yesh Lasu B'chumosh and Sifrei Tanakh, Shem Nimsom Shemus, Rechein Sidurim Me'elush and Tfisim Shemus Mamish, Almi Yasvam Shebetorah Shebaalpeh, Shehem B'shnayis V'gomorah, Mishnah Talmudim v'chol Sifrei Rabbeinu Harishonim v'Achronim v'Asvarim v'Nitfasim v'Chachmei Hazman v'chol Hayarchonim shenikru v'Roshia she'ashiramdu v'yanu b'hem. So he said one thing. Okay, Tanakh, anything the sitters that have real Shem Hashem, you can't do this to. But Gemaras, Mishnayos, Torah dailies, Rishonim, Achronim, anything that you're not going to learn from anymore. V'Asher Shayach Yomer b'hem l'Fadim. Even though it could be if you're stuck, you would use it. So in that case, you can do it also. Havalasos came from Meiser to Daber Beze in Ogedoli Apostle Barry to Swell, Vagam Gedoli Roshi Yeshiva, Vagam Gedoli Torah Vahara, Eda Chariz Measfardim. So Ramosha says that he would think that technically this is okay. Why? It goes back to what we said earlier on. The Rambam, we said, is mechalik between Shemus, Mamas, the Zayin, Shemus, Shem, Nechokim, and Kinuyim with Divrei Torah. The Zayin, Shemus, that's a Nisa Doraisa. As opposed to the Kinuyim, Divrei Torah, etc. That's not a Nisa Doraisa, that's at most a Nisa Dorabonon. So if it's a Nisa Dorabonon, what's happening? So if he said, Rav Moshe says, you put it in a separate bag, and you put it out nicely, you didn't do anything wrong. Some non is going to pick it up, and then he's going to go and he's going to recycle it. That's grammar. That's Ayyidei Akum. That's not your concern. And this is the Rabbanan. Indirectly like that, you do not have to be concerned about. So while some people would feel uncomfortable doing this with a Gemara or Mishnayis, one could argue something like the Jewish press or the Minchas Yitzchak has a truth about the Jewish Chronicle. Right? The Minchas Yitzchak was the head of the Eidah Haredus, but prior to his moving to Yerushalayim, he was a Rav in Manchester, This was from his Manchester days. They had the Jewish Chronicle. Jewish Chronicle, I'm sure, was not unlike the Jewish Week, perhaps a little less sensational. And in it, they had Divrei Torah from time to time. So the Shaul said, you have to put it in Sheamus. So he said, no, just put it in a separate bag, put it out. Whatever happens, happens. If they're going to recycle it, and that's a, it's not a bad thing. So Rav Moshe clearly seems to be indicating that Rav Moshe is going much broader. Rav Moshe is even saying Gemaras, Mishnayos, Nodav Yehuda, Reb Chaim's, all of it. We probably wouldn't assume naturally, but one would think that at least on the level of the Jewish press, the Jewish Week, dare I say, even Yatei Ne'eman, in all of these cases, one would be able to put them out into the recycling bin. Don't put it in together with your dirty dishes, whatever else you're throwing out. You put it in a separate bag, tie it up in the plastic bag nicely, put it down. Whatever happens from there, Rav Moshe clearly indicates, even though he says L'maisa, he wants to hear from other parts of the community. One would think that would be something that would be Ola Al Hadas, that would make sense to do. We have a half a minute if anyone has questions. What? So you just said two things. You said printed, then you said on a computer. Which one were you referring to? You're saying on the screen?
So,
I don't think so. I think on the screen is not considered like a black one. In fact, I think most people are makel to type on your computer on Chol Moed because they assume that's not ksiva. So it's not ksiva, it's not ksiva. The man.
Right.
So again, anything that refers to, I think even, I would think even capital H his or he might also count as a kinoi. If it was written to refer to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, the man, whatever else you're going to call him, right, the big guy, Kinuyim, right, Kinuyim or Kinuyim, first the Abishur or first the Abishur.
The concern is regarding the quote of the Torah, quote of the Pasuk, even quote of the word of the Torah. I'm sure that people say the part of the Torah. I write the word Vayomer, the word Torah.
You write Vayomer because you want to write the first word of the Pasuk, or you write Vayomer because you're writing in Hebrew, Vayomer, da, 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 and Mary said to Jane, in that case, the fact that it happens to appear there, it doesn't make it in terms of pollution. What? A Divrei Torah should go into Sheamus. The question is, in the event that there's a burgeoning Sheamus problem, could you be makel? If there aren't Sheamus literally, could you be makel to put it in the recycling bin? That's what Moshe question is dealing with. No, regular Divrei Chol. You put it in a separate bag so they don't get mixed together.
If an elevation part is an animal that you give and has to stay on the overall light and burn and you go up, then why can't a piece of or any of the other things we're talking about be burned as well? There are these people who are animals, but not more.
Well, obviously the way that we make something, the burning makes it Kodesh. Here, the printing made it Kodesh.
Instead of putting it into a nice garbage bag, putting it in the recycling bin without anything else.
You want to offer it on a Mizbeach?
What?
You want to offer it on a Mizbeach instead?
No, I'm not saying offer it on, but I'm saying at least burn.
I mean, I think that's I don't know why burning it was any better. I mean, the fact that what type of desecration is going to happen more than burning? They're going to grind it up. Why is burning better than grinding?
So you're saying,
I'm saving the tree. Right.
I think at the very least, it won't be thrown in with a
table
or something like that.
Once you're grinding it, I don't think it makes a difference. It shouldn't be done by a Jew, but through grandma. It's grandma. I don't see any gains by burning it. Right, so tashmish and mitzvah, you have to dispose of them in a proper way. That's why some people are makbid to make jelly from it. I've never met anyone who's makbid to eat the jelly, actually. Recently, people are makbid to mail it to me for tzedakah.
We can give you a recipe.
Not only that, you're welcome to have my esrog.